It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely, please, on a couple of topics in the news. This week, tell us how we should go about addressing the income gap in America, or talk about how we should go about legalizing marijuana in our states, if that is what we wish to do. Phone number is 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. If you're just joining us and wondering about the fund drive, it did finish successfully. You did it. We had to raise $65,000 yesterday, which made us make a couple of funny noises along the way because it's a big number. That was about a third of the total we were seeking, but the total we were seeking was $190,000. We got to $191,647 from nearly 2,000 different donors, and in the process added 375 new members. So a very good day, a very good fund drive at JPR, and we can't thank you enough because we continue to do what we do because you continue to support us. Thanks again for that. Vents Day numbers again, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. How do we close the income gap? How, if we want to, do we legalize marijuana? Bill and Eugene, welcome to the Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me. I'd like to state two things and then ask a question.
Okay.
First thing, I believe back in the 60s when the United States was at its health, the average CEO made 12 times the median income. And that's when anybody, I mean, a guy pumping gas could own a house and his wife didn't have to work. So there is some reasoning to lower the maximum income from a CEO compared to the median income. Second of all, I believe Whole Foods, the owner of Whole Foods, has set a new standard. Whole Foods is the largest nutritional or health food store across the country. It's a huge change. The owner I just heard is set a standard that the top CEO, which he is not anymore, but he owns the company, can only make a certain percentage or make it so much above the median income, which there is a trend in that movement.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do you think this would even ever be considered or people doing this if we did not have President Obama as our president? That's all. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's an interesting question. And what's going on here, certainly on CEO pay nationally, is this concept of the SEC proposing rules requiring companies to calculate the ratio of their CEO's pay to the median pay of their employees. So some of the corporations are freaking out left and right because they think this is undemocratic or something. And what the SEC is talking about, this is part of the Dodd-Frank reforms that came out of Congress after the recession hit its worst point. The point being that if you put a certain amount of pressure on companies through this kind of scrutiny, then at least they'll be willing to be responsive to the public, to their stockholders, anybody out there. And then you just brought up the point, too, about what the ratio was back in the day. It was maybe something like 12 to 1. Reading from a piece by Michael Hiltzik in the Los Angeles Times, an opinion piece about this whole process of CEO pay. He points out that the great management guru Peter Drucker advised companies to stick to a ratio of about 20 to 1 between the pay of the CEO and that of the average worker. He wrote, "That's the limit beyond which they cannot go if they don't want resentment and falling morale to hit their companies." And this is a comment provided on the CEO pay rule by Rick Swartzman, who's the executive director of the Drucker Institute at Claremont Graduate University. Drucker wrote this in the 70s and 80s, and again, he was talking 20 to 1. The average CEO to worker pay ratio in 2012 was about 350 to 1, meaning if a worker made, and just for giggles, let's say $100,000 a year, 350 times that. So was that $35 million for that CEO? That's 350 to 1 is a big ratio. That ratio was actually larger. It was the number on the upper end was bigger before the recession hit, so it actually was impacted somewhat by the recession. So what's your answer then? I mean, how do we close the income gap? What kind of pressure do you put on companies to keep their CEO pay more in line with what their workers make? And the other topic on Vents Day is, if we're going to legalize marijuana, and public opinion certainly seems to be turning that way across the country, how? Do we regulate it like alcohol? Can you grow your own? Should you just have to buy it at a store? What are your thoughts on both these issues? 800-838-3760. around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And email jx@jeffnet.org. Next is Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. Say, I think that CEO pay is one topic, and I think how to make it so that the middle class can make more money is another topic. And I'm going to stick with the middle class one. I'm going to use a real life example. I'm going to use my son,
all right,
who is a software engineer for Boeing, who lives in Southern California. And he went to work after he got out of college. First, he went to work for Nike, and then he got headhunted and ended up down at Boeing. And he would be probably considered sort of an upper middle class guy. Okay.
All right.
When he went to work 15 years ago for Boeing, and the building that he's in right now, there was twice as many people as there is now, and all those people that were there had the same title as him, software engineer.
Right.
And a lot of them have been there for 20 or 30 years. The only software engineer in his building, in the department that he started out in, is he's it.
Uh-huh.
He's the only one. And we're talking like 300 people laid off over the last 15 years. And I asked him, well, what's it all about? And he said, well, Dad, when I came here, I knew that if I didn't keep up to date on everything in my software area and always know what the newest and latest thing was and how to do it and get reeducated and blah, 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 that I would be fired. And he said all those people didn't do it. They just thought that they could work for Boeing forever and collect their paycheck and not do anything to keep up with the standards of the industry.
Hmm.
And I'll give you another example.
All right, but before you do, though, let me go back and ask, though. So did Boeing still need other software engineers, or was the work just more easily consolidated under one person? Is your son working 18 hours a day?
No, he works about, he probably works about 10 hours a day, and they don't need those people anymore because software, the way the software is now is so much better than it used to be. You just don't need that many people.
All right.
To do it, you know, I mean, it's just that simple. What it used to take 300 people to do, now it takes one. And those were all people that made really, really good salaries. I mean, they really made good salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were in their 50s, and so they just wanted to get rid of them to begin with. It was a good reason to do it. A lot of them were younger people who just didn't want to keep up. You know, they were just kind of lazy. Another example is in the automobile industry, and where they build automobiles, and how it used to take maybe 1,000 people to run a plant, and now it takes 300 people to run that plant. And in 10 years, it's only going to take 100 people to run that plant.
Mm-hmm.
And the big problem is that the middle class is not educated to be part of the technology, the way technology is going forward. And I don't even think that the middle class, the generally speaking middle class, everyday Joe, is ever going to be able to keep up. And so what we're looking at is a whole new paradigm, I think, probably along the lines of Germany or somewhere like that, where we cut down to a 30-hour work week, and everybody gets a share of the pie, and everybody takes some time off, too.
Well, you know, that makes a certain amount of sense because we have talked about this in the past. And Dennis, thanks for the call. The idea that if we have so many people who are so afraid of losing their jobs that they're working themselves what feels like the death for them, and a lot of unemployed people, people like John Kenneth Galbraith, the economist, back to the 30s, I think, was talking about the fact that as we advance technologically, some jobs would require less time to be spent at them. We would all have more leisure time. And I'm sure a lot of people would really welcome that thought. How do we then, is the question on Vince Day this week, go about addressing the income gap? How do we adjust things in the economy to make sure the middle class sustains and grows as well? That's one issue. The other one is if we're going to legalize marijuana, which it looks like we're moving close to that across the country, how do we go about it? What are some of the things that need to be contained within the laws that allow marijuana for personal use? And we're talking state laws at this point. Oregon for sure looks like it may vote next year. California probably approaching that as well. Numbers on the exchange on Vince Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782 for the Rogue Valley. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Stan in Ashland says a tight labor market is one way to fight inequality. A first step is to counter the big lie that the U.S. is running out of money, an impossibility in a nation that has sovereign currency. The federal government can and should spend whatever's necessary to reemploy all of our resources. Honest media like the Jefferson Exchange need to educate citizens in modern money theory. Thanks for that, Stan. Let's go to Steve in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having us on the air this morning. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I fought once for my freedom already, and now I feel like I'm up against it again. I just finished reading this book called The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline.
Summarize what you want to talk about here, Steve.
I want to read one quote from the book, and this pretty much tells what's exactly going on in our country. How the international finance business and professionals and government, largely from the Northeast, who wield most of the power regardless of who is in the White House. This has been going on since like 1902.
Okay, we got the
They've
preamble.
Been
Give us the
developing this power, which pretty much dictates what's going to go on with us in our country, in the United States. Hence, Agenda 21, which is moving in and taking over all of our communities and destroying our way of life and our freedom as we know it, with the Constitution.
All right.
This is my point.
All right. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Let's go on to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. Well, I'll touch on both subjects real quickly. For legalization of marijuana, I think it should be run by OLCC, controlled pretty much like liquor.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the middle class disappearing, that's been predicted for many years, and it's been happening for many years with all these trade agreements. All of the middle class manufacturing jobs have been outsourced to China and Asia and the Philippines, and the whole thing is, they're paying these people $2 a day, and that's where we're headed if we don't have some kind of controls. I've read recently that the minimum wage should be about $15 an hour.
If it had kept up with inflation?
Right. And so, and it hasn't for the last 30, 40 years. So that's a big part of it. And then I remember reading, and I'm not sure when, I think it might have been during the Depression in the 30s, that there used to be 100% tax over anyone making over $1 million. So we've changed drastically, and now we're having the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which will basically, if that gets passed and it gets fast-tracked so there's no discussion in Congress, where the local, state, and federal laws won't even be able to make a law to limit these manufacturing jobs or the outsourcing. And I think we should have huge import taxes for anything that can be made in the U.S. To encourage manufacturing. So, in my opinion, until we get publicly funded campaigns where our politicians are bought and paid for by multi-billion-dollar corporations, none of this is going to happen. And that's what's happened to our country, is it's basically controlled by these multinational corporations for their own profit, and everybody else suffers, the environment and the people all over the world.
Pam, thanks for the thoughts. Always good to hear from you. One part of that I will address, which is the top marginal tax rate. I have looked at the tax tables for the last century or so, and it was in the 50s during the Eisenhower administration that the top marginal rate got no higher than 92%. So it wasn't totally confiscatory, but I'm sure it felt that way to the people who made that much money. It just meant that on the highest part of their income, and I don't honestly remember what the income trigger level was, that was taxed at a 92% rate. Stuff below that was taxed at lower rates and so on down. The country was doing pretty well financially at that time, you might have noticed as well, and the CEO pay was not that far out of whack with what the workers were making. And I want to get into this study of job polarization in Oregon. This is reading out of a Register Guard editorial from earlier this week. It says, Oregon's job market has long resembled a bell curve, with the majority of workers making between $25,000 and $50,000 a year. In recent decades, however, most new jobs in Oregon pay either less than $25,000 or more than $50,000. The absence of new jobs in the middle range has been especially pronounced in the years following the financial crisis of 2008. The bell curve is flattening, a new state report finds, with far-reaching consequences for all Oregonians. This report is from the Office of Economic Analysis. Looked at 23 job categories and sorted them. Oregon lost 8% of its jobs during the recession, only 2% of its high-wage jobs, and less than 4% of its low-wage jobs. Job losses in both middle groups exceeded 10%. In the period of economic recovery since 2010, high-wage jobs increased by 7% and low-wage jobs by 5%, more than making up the losses in both groups. But the increase in the upper middle group was less than 1%, with no increase in the lower middle group. So essentially what happened was, in Oregon in particular, there were mild losses at both ends of the income scale, and more pronounced losses in the middle. Those two ends of the income scale have gained back. The middle has not. So how do we address this? How do we address things like CEO pay? That's topic one on this Vince Day. The other one is, if we're going to legalize marijuana, how do we go about it? If the public opinion is as firmly in favor of marijuana legalized for personal use, and if Oregon and California vote laws into effect, what should those laws contain in the way of controls? Numbers on Vince Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Joe in Talent writes, I think the genie is out of the bottle. Now that the 1% have smelled blood in the water and found that taking any opportunity to empty our pockets to line theirs goes unpunished, the middle, low, and poverty classes have no chance. Until we take a stand and push back, nothing can change. It's obvious elected officials will not protect us. The burden is on our shoulders to take back our country from the robber barons. That from Joe in Talent. Here's another phone call. Skeeter in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi.
I agree with Pam that I think the whole marijuana issue ought to be regulated like beer and other alcohol. I would actually lower the age for marijuana users to 18, even though I think, frankly, it's not really a good idea for people in their late teens, even in their early 20s, to actually smoke it at that point. Their brains aren't developed sufficiently. But
so why legalize it down to that age?
Oh, well, that's a good point. I guess I could be talked out of that. The main point I want to talk about is income.
Right.
We could do a couple of things. We could change our tax structure so that most of the tax money that we would pay would stay in our own neighborhoods and our own communities, so that we, having big get-togethers like potlucks and committees and discussing how we want to use all the money that's in our big escrow account, we can solve these problems and deal with a lot of our needs ourselves with our own tax money. And then, the farther away that the people are supposedly representing us, I think they should get less money, because we can do most of this stuff for ourselves. Also, when we played Monopoly as kids, I got the idea that what if we elected county commissioners and maybe even a governor and did the whole state of Oregon, and got a system where we could print up our own parallel currency based on, let's say, industrial hemp being our gold standard. And then we go ahead and give every single citizen in the state or the county, depending on whoever passes the legislation, we give them $1 million, $5 million to start the game. And the whole point of the game is for everyone to win, including Bambi up there in the hills. I think we could, you know, take care of ourselves pretty well if each of us had money to spend, and we would just, you know, and also a guaranteed annual income. There's, you know, with all the automation and robots taking over, we're going to be sitting around without a whole lot to do, even though the world does need to be healed, and there's plenty to do. We could educate ourselves, fix up the ecosystem, the whole thing. We can do it.
Right.
So I think decentralizing and having our own local currencies, that kind of thing, we can do it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Skeeter. Appreciate it. I got an email from Stephen in Boulder Creek. He says, all the recreational pot smokers like trees, too. Why not structure the taxes on marijuana to replace the O&C funding levels of the 90s with zero timber cutting needed? Interesting thought from Stephen in Boulder Creek. Here's Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. Yes, on marijuana legalization, I think that what would be work best would be to allow anybody that wanted to grow what they wanted to, and then they could give away anything that they wanted to. But if they were caught selling it, then they would be in trouble. So make marijuana free, and because after all, it is just a weed. Then, you know, legalize the growing of industrial hemp. I think that would be a very useful thing for our economy and our ecology. On the CEO pay disparity, all of us that think we're middle class, actually the vast majority of us are working class. And so remember that, people. Be proud of being working class. So at any rate, CEO pay, anything over X amount is taxed at 50%. Don't want to bother going above 50% because you do that, people start cheating. Then on Social Security taxes, those should there should be no limit on the income level on Social Security taxes as there is now. So poor people pay more a percentage of their income on Social Security taxes than do wealthy people.
Right, because it stops at a certain level. I appreciate the thoughts, Mark. Appreciate that. I'm going to move along to get a final call in from Michael in Mendocino. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Our topics are closing the income gap and how to legalize marijuana, if that's our choice.
Okay, well, I think it was Skeeter that said, get a bank of hemp. I'd like to modify that and suggest that all local communities can start their own banks. And I propose a bank of energy instead of just hemp. Hemp is a predecessor of any kind of energy. And, of course, cow poison and just about anything else that you could make, energy or fuels, could be used as deposits and withdrawals. And you could get your money based on that. Very simple. And so I applaud this conversation, and I'll take my comment or answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Well, no particular answer there, Michael, because there's no guest. It's just me. But this is the purpose of Vents Day, to give people a chance to vent their spleens politely, as we point out, on these topics in the news. The income gap one, certainly not going away, and we'll hear down the road what the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, decides to do about making rules that fit under the Dodd-Frank law for tying CEO pay in corporations to the median income of workers. One of the complaints is that let's make it the mean income of workers, not the median, because the mean is easier to calculate. And of course, we'll be talking a lot more about the potential legalization of marijuana as we move closer to a potential vote on this issue in Oregon in November of 2014. And we'll see what happens in California with its potential pot measures as well. That'll do it for Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange for this Wednesday. I'm Jeffrey Reinley. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part.